Okay, well, let's get started. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the December session of the Nebraska Court of Appeals. My name is Larry Welch, and I am from Plattsmouth, Nebraska, and appearing today from Plattsmouth, Nebraska. We're all appearing remotely today. I'm pleased to be joined by Judge Dave Arterburn of Papillion, Nebraska, and Judge Rico Bishop of Lincoln, Nebraska. And because we're all appearing remotely today through the magic of technology, I just want to make sure that we all can hear each other before we get started. So, counsel for the appellant, can you hear me fine this morning?
I can, Your Honor.
Thank you. And counsel for the appellee, can you hear me fine this morning?
I can. Good morning, Your Honor.
Good morning. Thank you. Judge Bishop, can you hear me okay? Okay, and then Judge Arterburn, can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can.
Okay, and could you hear it? Could everybody, well, if you couldn't hear somebody speak just now, let me know. If not, I'll proceed.
I did not hear Judge Bishop.
Yeah, sorry. I just did a thumbs up. I'm here.
Okay.
I was just making sure your video was working.
Awesome. Well, before we get started, I just remind everyone that even though we are appearing remotely today, that these proceedings are public. They're going to be recorded. They'll be archived. So in the event there's anything confidential, please keep that in mind as it relates to your remarks today. The first matter is case number 20-0042, Milmar Food Group versus Applied Underwriters Inc. Counsel for the appellant, if you would proceed. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Your Honor. May it please the court. My name is Jeffrey Silver, and I represent the defendants' appellants in this case. The history of this case is important, I think, to put it in context. Milmar originally sued the defendants in New York Supreme Court with respect to an equity comp product that the court is probably very familiar with and involved a reinsurance participation agreement that included a forum selection clause. In response to the lawsuit in New York, the defendants filed a motion to dismiss based on the forum selection clause providing for Nebraska as the exclusive forum for any disputes under that reinsurance participation agreement. The New York court agreed and dismissed the case. Milmar then filed an appeal and ultimately dismissed their appeal and filed an action in Nebraska against the same defendants, making essentially the same allegations they made in New York. The defendants in the Nebraska case filed a motion to dismiss on various claims, including failure to state a claim upon which relief could be granted. The court, after getting briefs from both sides on its own motion, sua sponte decided that the Nebraska court was an inconvenient forum and dismissed the case, sending it back to New York. We appealed on the basis that the court abused its discretion in doing so for the following reason. In order to transfer a case under forum non-convenience, there needs to be an available forum for that case to go to. Based on the fact that New York already dismissed the case, and we assert based on full faith and credit and issue preclusion, the case can't go back to New York. So the only place we think this case can go is in Nebraska. And the court, in its decision on forum non-convenience, relied on the EM Pizza case, which is, as you know, an important case. And I think Judge Welch, you were on the panel that decided that. But this is different than EM Pizza. In the EM Pizza case, we were using the forum selection clause to provide jurisdiction against a foreign corporation. In this case, Milmar has voluntarily chosen to come to Nebraska and file its lawsuit in Nebraska. So, in our sense, it's waived any claim for jurisdiction. It's waived any claim of improper forum or venue because it's voluntarily filed here. So, and in all fairness to Milmar, I'm not sure it has any place else to go. So, in an unusual case, Mr. Covey and I have had multiple cases involving this. But this is the first time that Mr. Covey and I are seeking the same relief from the court, and that is to reverse the decision of the district court have it go back to the district court to decide the motion to dismiss on the merits and not allow the case to get transferred back to New York where it may come back somewhere else.
Mr. Silver, isn't it true that, I mean, in terms of what the district court was troubled by is that there will be, it will be necessary to interpret New York law to resolve the issues in your case or in Milmar's case against you?
Sure, Judge. I don't think that that's a significant enough problem to warrant the case going back to New York. Judges in Nebraska all the time, including this court on occasion, have absolutely no problem in interpreting foreign law and applying it to a contract action that's taken place in Nebraska. So
that is the underlying premise of EM Pizza, and I understand that was a 414 choice of forum issue rather than forum nonconvenience is that issue here. But sure. It was kind of the underlying premise, right, that these cases should be decided in the state where the arguably complex work comp laws are at issue and insurance laws in those states. So why would that not be applicable here?
We would argue, Your Honor, that in the reinsurance participation agreement, which the New York court found to be enforceable, it specifically provides that any dispute under the reinsurance participation agreement is to be controlled and governed by Nebraska law. So even though this involves a New York entity in Milmar and restaurants in New York, it doesn't involve workers' compensation insurance as such. This does not involve claims, excuse me, by injured workers from Milmar that are making claims for workers' compensation benefits. This is at its core a contract action that doesn't necessarily involve complex New York workers' compensation law.
So I'd like to get to an issue that you and opposing counsel do not agree on, at least in your briefs, with regard to issue preclusion. So the New York decision does mention, right, it does raise the issue of inconvenience of the forum in its decision just before page 822 of its decision. It says that Milmar claims that Nebraska is not a reasonably convenient place for trial of the action, but that under New York law, if a party's agreed to submit to a jurisdiction of a court, then that party's precluded from attacking on forum nonconvenience. So you're saying that that reference in the opinion issue precludes the district court in Nebraska from considering forum nonconvenience now, correct? And Mr. Covey disagrees.
I agree with that because in the district court's opinion in Nebraska, it attempted to differentiate or distinguish the fact that the New York court did not discuss forum nonconvenience. I have that exact same quote in my brief on page 13. So from our perspective, the court in New York specifically discussed and referenced the issue of forum nonconvenience. So we do believe there is issue preclusion because that issue was raised. There was extensive briefing in the New York court by both parties on the issue of the forum selection clause and on the issue of forum nonconvenience. So it was decided, it was considered and decided by the district court in New York. So we do think there is issue preclusion.
Do you think that it's problematic in this case that the court decided to dismiss based on forum nonconvenience sua sponte, that at a minimum, you and Mr. Covey should have had an opportunity to present arguments on that issue?
I would say respectfully so. The judge that decided this case was also the judge that decided EM Pizza. So I think that the court had, from its perspective, a history of knowing what the issues were. But I agree with you, Your Honor. I think we should have had an opportunity to brief the issue, and maybe we could have convinced the court that sending it back to New York was inappropriate.
And is it particularly problematic in this case that the court decided on forum nonconvenience when nobody raised it, and in particular where Milmar, the party from out of state, is actually the plaintiff rather than the defendant? So the plaintiff, and I understand that it maybe wasn't by choice that it's filing in Nebraska because of the New York decision, but given that the plaintiff, the out-of-state party, brought the action, does that, should that change the way we look at a forum non-convenience analysis?
I think the answer to that question is yes, Your Honor. I don't know how a party, excuse me, can at the same time file a lawsuit, invoke the court's jurisdiction, and essentially choose venue, as Wilmore did in this case, and then turn around and say, wait a second, it's an inconvenient forum. Now, I understand and appreciate what the point you were making, that Milmore is not necessarily in Nebraska voluntarily, but they nonetheless are here in Nebraska. They did dismiss their appeal in New York when they could have pursued that. So it seems to me when you voluntarily agree to come to a jurisdiction, it is very difficult at the same time to say the venue is inconvenient. Anytime you file a lawsuit in a different jurisdiction than your home jurisdiction, it's always inconvenient. But I think Milmore had, with all due respect, no choice but to do what it did in this case.
And let me follow up, if I can, on a procedural question. So the New York decision came out prior to this court's decision in EM Pizza. That's correct, right?
I believe that's correct, Your Honor.
The New York court didn't have the benefit of the Nebraska court's interpretation of the Choice of Forum Act in connection with this provision, right?
It did, Your Honor, but I don't believe that the New York court was deciding the case on the basis of the choice of forum, but it was basing it on the fact that under New York law, a forum selection clause is enforceable with certain defined exceptions, which it found not to be applicable in this case.
Did the New York court get into Nebraska's Choice of Forum Act, or was it construing its own Forum Act? You remember?
What I believe the court was doing was enforcing the forum selection clause based on New York law, which has long held that a validly entered into forum selection clause will be enforced, but for certain circumstances such as fraud or overreaching, which it found not to be the case in this case.
Would you agree that in light of the U.S. Supreme Court case Atlantic, which is referenced in the opinion below, that in light of the forum selection clause, the private interests of the parties it's a non-issue. That's waived under Atlantic. But whether or not public interest factors could be considered by a court, that's kind of what's at issue here, to the extent the court was proper in deciding this on forum non-convenience. So in Atlantic, the case was remanded for consideration of public interest factors. In this case, the district court actually did lay out public interest factors that kind of drove its decision. So would you agree that if forum non-convenience is available here, that it would be driven solely by those public interest factors?
I think the answer to that question is yes, but with this caveat. It's difficult for me to reconcile public interest factors being adopted and used by the court when the parties to the action don't put forth an argument that there are public interest factors that mitigate against the case being heard in Nebraska. I think if one of the parties had raised the issue of forum nonconvenience, then I think maybe we would get into a public interest discussion and the parties would have an opportunity to decide or argue that. But in this case, I'm not sure how the court can then take a public interest argument and essentially trump the decision of both parties to the case. I understand you can't provide jurisdiction to a court, but this is not a question of providing jurisdiction to a court. And I think the fact that both parties are asking this court to reverse the district court takes out the issue of the public interest argument.
Thank you.
Okay, let's move on. Your time has elapsed. Mr. Covey.
Thank you. Good morning, Your Honors. Excuse me. My name is Chris Covey, and I represent the appellees in this matter, Milmar Food Groups 2 LLC and others. Counsel, Yeah, Mr. Silver points out an odd scenario here where the two of us agree on something. We've been litigating these cases for going on 15 years, if you go back to the very first one. This looks to be the last one, and we're in agreement. I'm going to scrap my outline and dive right into some of the issues that have been raised by the panel. First, I'm going to start at the end. I think the number one distinction here between these facts and these parties and the policy and the precedent set by EM Pizza and the cases that followed it is that in this case, the plaintiff is out of state. I think that's a critical distinction here because it's a balancing factor. When the court's looking at the factors under a forum selection clause or even forum nonconvenience, there is a balancing act between things like the very clear public policy in EM Pizza that stated these type of cases should be handled in the home jurisdiction because, and I will disagree with Mr. Silver on this point, the underlying issues are not just contract claims. These issues are all on a bedrock of insurance law under the home forum states and whether or not these particular insurance products are legal. The departments of insurance are involved in several states. They're more than a mere contract action. So the holdings in EM Pizza are sound. However, when you look at the different scenarios here, if a party comes to Nebraska, in this case, voluntarily, but kind of not voluntarily, coming to Nebraska and suing a Nebraska company for damages, I think a lot of the underlying concerns in EM Pizza go out the window. Whereas certainly it would be preferable to have New York hearing these issues, which is why it was filed there. Our judges, our district courts on up are more than capable of applying New York law. It's not ideal, but the factors of this situation are such, as Mr. Silver points out, that Milmar could be left without a forum at all, which would be a much more dire and drastic result than disagreeing with the forum nonconvenience analysis or then agreeing with the district court analysis. With respect to the notion of the court raising it sua sponte, it was done a little differently here in that Mr. Silver and I were brought in for an informal chambers conference to discuss this issue with the district court judge. It's not in front of you. It's not in the record. But this wasn't completely blindsiding. The result was, but the fact that the judge was considering this was something that had been discussed. But again, that still doesn't change the fact that that if the parties have been given full and proper opportunity to brief this and maybe point out some of the things that are now in our briefs, perhaps the district court decision might have gone differently. That particular piece is water under the bridge for us at this point. Another thing that Mr. Silver said that I don't necessarily agree with is when he says that the choice of law provision in these various agreements stating that Nebraska law applies is necessarily true. I think that's a simplification. The contract certainly says those words, but I think there's a lot of different issues here. There are state law tort claims at issue. There are other things that make that choice of law analysis in and of itself a beast. But it is not as though some New York court was going to be enforcing Nebraska insurance law. It is entirely likely, and what's happened across the country is these contracts are being interpreted under the insurance law and the workers' compensation insurance laws of the home state. But again, that's not in and of itself a reason to dismiss this case and leave the plaintiff with a potential for not having the court the matter heard at all, when the alternative is to simply have a Nebraska court applying New York law, if in fact that's where the choice of law analysis leads us. Mr. Silver and I could go back and forth on that, but we won't today.
Aren't you bringing claims that fall under the sub-Nebraska statutes as well, deceptive practices? I think there's one of the claims that's under Nebraska's Deceptive Practices Act. Isn't that correct in your original complaint?
It is, Your Honor. There are state law-based tort claims under both New York and Nebraska law pled in the complaint. The briefs on the motion to dismiss were impressive. They were very big and very heavy because there was a lot of claims back and forth. With respect to issue preclusion, Your Honor, I'm in a little bit of a tricky spot because I want the result that comes from issue preclusion. I'm just not sure that I agree with the analysis, and so my arguments disagreeing with Mr. Silver were born more of what I believe to be a more accurate interpretation of issue preclusion precedent and the fear of potentially getting some bad law out there, in my opinion. So again, it may have seemed counterintuitive for me to disagree with Mr. Silver at all, but some of these issues I certainly did. with that, I think, you know, again, I'm in agreement with Mr. Silver. I think the case should be remanded. The judge to whom it's assigned should hear the motion to dismiss on the merits and let the parties proceed forward. Alternatively, if the court were to affirm this, Milmar's only hope is to go back and hopefully convince a judge in New York to reverse themselves in light of this court's decision. And of course, the New York courts aren't bound by this court's decision. They may be persuaded.
The interesting thing is that it appears, or at least it's alleged, that there was an appeal filed to the New York court's decision, but that it was not pursued. And so it really does create a bit of a pickle here in terms of, you know, it's hard to disagree with the district court's rationale for wanting to send this thing back to New York. But it's also hard to disagree with the situation you find yourselves in, that it's possible New York may not want you back. So on the issue preclusion matter, because this is one of the pieces that interests me quite a bit, is the New York decision. We don't have your brief. We're not privy to what all was argued there. All we have is that one paragraph that addresses it. And it's hard to know whether the court really did a full analysis of forum non-convenience. So I tried to even look at the cases cited, and they're not real helpful because I'm not sure that when it says that a party's precluded from attacking the court's jurisdiction in New York, if you've agreed to a forum, if that's correct, you know, who are we to disagree? You know, we can't do anything about what that decision determined, and you didn't appeal it or pursue the appeal. So it's problematic because that may not accurately represent New York law. Would you agree?
Well, I agree. It would have been nicer to have more in the record. But I do think if we take just the holding from that decision, and the base holding was, we're not going to get into forum non-convenience because we find there's a forum selection clause. And again, whether that was correct or not, you know, it is the district court decision. And so I think that is one of the main factors upon which I base my argument, that you can't say that they did a full forum non-convenience analysis, even if the court may have had it in front of them and considered it. What we know is from the ruling, the holding. So again, the fact that it wasn't appealed, and that they chose to come to Nebraska, much, I'm sure, to Mr. Silver's delight, shouldn't ultimately end up being some penalty towards the overall posture of the case and end up leaving Milmar without a forum at all in which to have these claims heard. So again, I agree. I would have liked to have seen more. I think we could have gone deeper on that issue if the decision had cited more of the record, but playing the cards were dealt.
Mr. Kobes, let me ask you a practical question. Under the doctrine of forum non-convenience, or the 25-538, one of the things that the court can do rather than dismiss the action is stay it. Is that possible here, to rather than dismiss it, stay it, send it back to New York to determine whether or not, in light of now you're armed with EM pizza, and you can and lay out how these things are being handled nationally and the perception of the Nebraska court as it relates to it, to determine whether or not they'll impact the case?
I'm sorry, there was some small noise, and I lost the last half of your sentence, Your Honor.
Well, as it relates to a possible remedy, as opposed to dismissing the action, could the court just have stayed it so that you could go back to New York with EM pizza, so that the court in New York has a better understanding of the nature of these and how they've been handled and managed across the country, and to see whether or not, in light of EM pizza, whether the New York court would in fact now take this while the matter is stayed? Is that practically something that could be done here?
I can't think of a reason why that wouldn't work. Obviously, that kind of solves the biggest dilemma here, which is ending up with no forum. I say I'm out of time. Can I finish my answer?
Please.
Yeah, that seems like a very practical solution here. Again, you're right. There has been developments in Nebraska law primarily, even if nationally there's other things happening on the issue of forum selection. To go back to New York armed with this, I think it's a weaker position in New York if we have this foot in the ground here. But obviously that's a much more preferred position than Nomar would otherwise have, which is completely rolling the dice in New York. And it's entirely possible that, yeah, New York court could say, okay, we're going to analyze this differently. I guess the real question is whether a New York court would analyze the forum selection clause under New York law or Nebraska law. Nebraska's Choice of Forum Act is different than a lot of other states, and it's that difference that forms the basis for EM Pizza. And if New York is still unconvinced that Nebraska law applies at all, then EM Pizza and its progeny would be unpersuasive. So again, I think if this case were remanded, I think that's an excellent idea. I would certainly have to think through whether there's any other pitfalls of having two cases filed in two jurisdictions, but that might give us the opportunity to have this, to give New York another chance to get Nebraska law right.
All right, thank you very much, Mr. Covey. Your time is gone. We actually went over with Mr. Covey. Allie, how far did we go over?
We went over with Mr. Silver as well.
Yeah,
yes,
so
we went over 1 minute and 29 seconds with Mr. Covey, and we went over 2 minutes and 29 seconds with Mr. Silver.
In 30 seconds, Mr. Silver, is there anything else you want to add? Oh, you need to unmute, please.
That the proposed solution, since we had this decision in New York, we've had two other cases in New York where they have done the same thing. So I'm not sure, with all due respect, that sending it back to New York is going to result in a different result, other than the fact that we'll go spend extra time and effort to do that.
Okay. Thank you very much. The matter is submitted. Thank you all for appearing remotely today.
Thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you.
Thank you.